Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
I'm just telling you that they can't, if they're going to go with Brooks Bollinger, you got to have some kind of a playbook.
But he went 4 for 16 with his receivers.
You know? What are you, you're a little tiny kid.
You know, but he did.
I know he went 4 for 16 with his receivers.
Really, you're on the air.
Oh, I got to go. Tommy, okay?
You know, you don't understand that Mr. Testaverde will be good.
Yeah, I gotta go, kid, okay?
What a douche.
Arguing with the kid about Brooks Bollinger, the quarterback for the Jets. See, we broadcast from the city of Los Angeles, where we have no professional football. All right! So we got to talk about other teams. Other teams that we like. The Jets. I like the Jets. My man here, Mr. Newman, Mr. Shelley in there. Of course, a Bears fan coming from the Windy City. Mark comes from Jersey. I come from L.A., so I don't, you know, like I said, I'm either with the Jets or the Dolphins, basically. I can't really root for any team with the nickname the Bolts. I'm just not going to go there. I won't go there, and I won't even go physically to the city that they play in. So what's the point? Hi, everybody. This is Phil Hendry. Tonight on our show, we have a very special guest, Larry Grover, who is publishing a magazine called Fresh Crop. And the premise of this is so bizarre, I'm not even sure I should tell you, but I will. The premise is this. Tom Cruise is marrying Katie Holmes. Tom Cruise is 43. Katie Holmes is 26. That means that Tom Cruise is 17 years older than Katie Holmes. That means that when Tom Cruise was 20, a young actor going out on his auditions, looking to get parts, she was 3. Basically, what that means is Tom Cruise, his future wife was 3. And so what's the point of him even looking at other women when the woman that he's going to marry and probably give him children for the rest of his life and all that is 3 years old? The magazine Fresh Crop accepts photographic submissions from parents of their daughters 5 years of age or younger. And then they mail these magazines out to moneyed, wealthy, successful men who then peruse. And he's even got a section of their interests. You know, hi, this is Tina. She's 4. It's pretty sick. It's pretty twisted. And it is the Phil Hendry Show. And also tonight, we are going to introduce a new segment. It's prize fights. As you know, we have our regular, what's tonight? Wednesday night fights. But tonight it'll be the Wednesday night fights featuring a major heavyweight. Tonight will be Vitaly Klitschko and an actor who, if he loses, can't make any more movies because the ones he's made have been real smellers. Tonight, Brad Pitt. Although Fight Club was good. And we'll have a couple other things. Chris Norton has invented a new dance, so that's pretty solid. And some other things. And our number is 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. And got some information here on Alfalfa, that guy from the Little Rascals that I said was shot or knifed or stabbed or beat up or something, remember? Well, like somebody mailed me this, and apparently he was shot by a guy whose house he was busting into in 1959. But what was interesting for me is that the guy who was the home that he was breaking into at one time was the home of Crash Corrigan, who is a movie star, some kind of a cat like that, right? Near where I live is Corrigan's Steakhouse. It's his son. And I always see this guy in there with a big 10-gallon hat, Corrigan's Steakhouse. And it's a steak joint, man. You walk in there, and it's like that movie Happy Texas. Look, D. Hornet, just walk it by the grill once and put it here, wipe its rear end, stick it on the table. So it's real meat. Anyway, this guy, Alfalfa, that used to be in the Spanky comedies, what this was about was he... What?
What do you mean, spank it? See, I
didn't say spank it.
I'm getting some word from upstairs that maybe you just are not Clear Channel material. What do you think of that? How does it make you feel?
I didn't... You know, I'm beginning to think that...
No. How does that make you feel that you can't be on the air 10 minutes without talking about paddling it?
I didn't say paddle it. I said something about... What did I say? I said spanky.
You said spank him.
Yeah, you're talking about spanking a guy? Wow. Spanking a chick, that's one thing. Yeah, hey, man. Can I spank you? What?
Spanky as in Spanky in our gang.
Spank, what is that?
It's a... Get out of here, man.
Tell me to get out of here?
I just dropped you off the line. How about that? 1-800-449-8686. I took my blog down. I'm done. Not going to do any more political blogs. That's history. I was going to start another one, and I was going to have my friends, you know, contribute. And I thought, I don't want to do that either. Because I realize when you do a blog, you're talking to the world's dumbest human beings without question. When you put a blog up and you invite comments, stupid? Oh, man. It doesn't even begin to tell the story. It doesn't even begin to tell the tale of what you get in the comments section. Look, you know, the internet is just now finding out what we in radio have known for a long time, and it's this. People are great, but the active person, the person that is like follows you down the street and wants your autograph or is asking you, you know, is writing you letters and things, they're very strange. And a lot of them, I'd say probably 50 to 60% of them, haven't got the brains, man, that God gave a fly. And so I decided what was happening was I was beginning to get like irritated. And I would come to work and Michelle would say to me, what the hell's wrong with you? I said, I just was talking to people on my blog. She goes, that's like three people, you idiot. I was getting wound up, but, you know, like four guys in Duluth, and I'm going, I'm ready to blow my brains out. I'm ready to do a Hitler right there in the bunker.
To hell with it, the whole thing.
And so I just took that down. There will be no more political commentary from Phil Hendry. As I told you, I'm in favor of pulling the troops out, or if you want him to stay, that's good, too. I think that Bush is a war criminal, or if you like him, I think he's pretty good. I'm going to vote for him. Oh, you mean you're not? Neither am I. I don't care, man. I'm playing it right down the middle. I'm playing it right down the middle until we get an official start date on the shooting for that TV show, which we haven't got yet. All I got are emails from actors going, do you know when we start working? I go, I don't know. I mean, I thought the show got picked up. Well, yeah, it did, but nobody said anything. Maybe we didn't get picked up. But I think so. Until I get the official word that we get a start date, I'm keeping it clean. Man, I'm keeping it clean.
Clean as a baby's rear end.
Yeah, that's right, bud. Clean as a baby's rear end. Wow. You're
the guy that's got a guy on with a picture of a girl.
He's a cat that's doing a magazine of five-year-old girls who may want to be married to Leonardo DiCaprio someday. What do you want from me? Be right back with a flashback by request. As I mentioned, we have our prize fight coming up tonight. We also have a special guest this evening, a Mr. Larry Grover from Fresh Crop Magazine.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
If it was up to me, the Indians would pack their teepees up and go back to India.
We're on the air.
You bastard.
All right. Nice going, David. Pack up their teepees and go back to India. What a sad, sad story. That's my boss. 1-800-449-8686. That's my boss. Here's a flashback request. By the way, we have coming up just a couple of little items to tell you about on our website, and we have our prize fight. Tonight, Larry Grover, who is going to be talking about a new magazine he's got out called Fresh Crop, five-year-old girls, prospective brides for guys that are older. It's some kind of a freak scene like that. And also, Chris Norton. Dear Phil, women driving rental Mustangs. This thing is hilarious. Bozell was on to talk about his wife driving the rental Mustang. Bozell knocks two teeth out of his wife's head because he wanted to drive the rental, and she wouldn't let him. To make matters worse, she holds a rag to her bloody teeth and still won't let him drive. So now he's suing his wife as he sits shotgun. She's holding a bloody rag to her mouth, and she's still driving the rental. Thanks. I think this is Brandon. Here you go, man. It's by request, Steve Bozell. Steve Bozell on a flashback, and that actually was from a couple of years ago when we went on vacation to Hawaii, and we, Marie and I were going to, you know, we were going down to Hana. We were going down to a hotel there on Maui, and we rented a truck at the airport. The reason why we rented a truck is because we really didn't know how we were going to get where we were going. We flew into Maui, and we just hadn't thought about renting a car, and by the time we got to the airport, I said to her on the plane, well, whatever, we'll walk up to a rental counter, man, whatever they got. So, you know, I'm waiting for the bags, and she goes to a rental counter, and she walks back, and she says, I got us a truck. I said, fine. You know, so I don't personally care if I drive when we're on vacation. In fact, I'd rather not. It's stress. What do I want that for? I'm the stressed one. She's not. She should drive. I should sit and chill. So we get in this truck. And if you've ever gone down to Hana from the Maui airport, it's only 60 miles. It takes you like 3 hours or something. I was going to say 4 hours because it's the most windy freaking road. Sometimes it goes down to one lane only where the cars have to stop at the other end of a bridge and let you go through. In other words, it was built when they still had like a king. In other words, this road goes back to a time when they were still rolling bones and curing each other with gree-gree. Oh, my God. See, I'm an American, and one of the reasons why I'm an American is because we have interstates. Now, you may find country lanes charming. Good for you. Not me. I want a nice, wide, screaming, fast highway. I don't care if it cuts right through a daycare center. Well, anyway, the point of the story is we're driving down there. You see the rental car. You know, I don't know if you guys, well, you probably know if you rent a car. Rental cars stand out like a sore thumb, man. I mean, it's like a big, fat, red nose, you know, on a Sunday morning. And the rental car is the convertible Mustang. That's the rental car of choice now. That's the new one. It used to be the Taurus. Now it's the, and every single one was being driven by the guy. I just thought it was funny. So the guy's driving. How come the women don't drive? And we're in this truck. And I actually helped this because we pulled into the hotel. I go, you all locals? And I mean, and I said, y'all, I ain't kidding you, because this is the south, what the hell is it? The southwestern coast of Maui. That ain't, you know, the hookie-low, baby. There ain't nobody down there in a grass skirt playing a freaking ukulele. Down there, it's a bunch of guys in cowboy boots, cows and horses. It's like ranch land. I mean, they're all Hawaiians and Japanese. Seriously, they're like Japanese cats in cowboy boots with big hats going, howdy! You know, yeah, see Kung Fu? But it's whack, you know. And then they have this little general store there, and it's cool. I love it. But also, you got to be rich to live there, man. I mean, unless, you know, around the corner, you go down this little highway, you pass by on the left, and all you see are miles and miles and miles of the most gorgeous coast you've ever seen in your life, the thickest, greenest grass, occasionally a horse galloping across this pasture, and behind him is the blue of the Pacific. And you'll say, wow, that's really nice. And the guy will say, yeah, that's Oprah Winfrey's house. Now, seriously, it's like acre after acre of choice land that she has gobbled up for herself. What a Nazi. You know, there is an argument that can be made. Oprah Winfrey's cool. I love her. I guess. I mean, I don't watch her, but people dig her. She's got that magazine. My wife subscribes to it. And I go, honey, you know, you've got four kids, man. You know more about being a woman and being a mother than Oprah Winfrey. She goes, yeah, but she's successful. Well, you mean financially? Well, I mean just everything that she does. I said, well, no matter how she does her hair and no matter how she applies her makeup, she still looks like LeVar Burton. Now, moving along, I'm kidding. That was uncalled for. Totally uncalled for. I'm getting on the train and leaving. Now you go around a corner and they have these coves, and now the local Hawaii surfer, there's all kinds of surfers. The Hawaii surfer, well, first of all, it's a female. Let's start with that. And she's in a bikini. And there ain't no wetsuits in Hawaii. And generally she's a chick who's about, say, 20, maybe 18, skinny as a rail. She's got a pretty decent tat from shoulder to about mid-bicep. Maybe a butterfly on the back, probably has to have the requisite chick tat, which is either the butterfly on the shoulder blade, some sort of a Harley Davidson insignia across her ass, or a combination of all of that. And then she's got that shortboard, and she's pretty, but she's smoked a lot of cigarettes. So by the time she's 20, she's kind of got one brown tooth, you know. That's your Hawaii surfer. And,
boy, as you're saying that, you're sprouting a tent in your Levi's.
You dirty-minded little...
I didn't do it.
Come here. Yeah?
It didn't hurt at all.
You didn't have me. I'm going to kick your ass, man, for saying... Yeah.
What are you idiots doing? You having a fist fight?
Did you hear what he said?
Yeah, he said you were getting a pup tent. So what?
Are you kidding me, man? You're talking to me about the FCC because I say spanky in our gang? You think it's a... I'm talking about a guy spanking it. Next thing I know, this guy's telling me I'm getting a pup tent because I'm talking about some skinny freaking surfer in Hawaii.
Well, you sounded like you're really digging it, man. Like you noticed every crevice, every crack. every hair peeking through the bikini bottom.
Boy, you know what I'm going to do when I get off the air?
What?
I'm coming to your house and I'm kicking your ass, too.
First you got to kick Bud's ass.
Yeah, and then he didn't do it either.
You know how he just is talking kind of like a retard?
Like, what else is new?
No, right, he just stumbled there. That's because I...
What? Made love to him?
Look at man.
That's all, folks.
Get out of here, bud.
What are you going to do? You going to try to hunch me again?
Get out of here, man.
You had me. You turned me around and had me facing you with my butt.
Facing me with your butt? Yeah, with you, that makes sense, man. Your face and your ass match. Anyway, getting back to that surfer chick, so forget it. But anyway, it's a beautiful place. But all those rental cars, they're like convertible Mustangs. The woman's driving. I mean, the guy's driving. So there you go. Steve Bozell tries to drive because he didn't want to be embarrassed. He knocked his wife's teeth out, and she still maintained control of the car. What a punk. 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Tonight we'll have a visit from Larry Grover. The new magazine is called Fresh Crop. Chris Norton is going to be on, and we'll also be hearing from Madison Square Garden. Tonight's big fight between Klitschko and Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt fighting to stay in the movie business. One more stinker, just one more foul, fetid stench emanating from his jeans, and that's it, brother. What's the last flick he made? I can't even remember. The guy's famous, man. Oh, Ocean's 12, right? Troy, big knock it out of the park, man. Wow.
Jealous?
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, here at Madison Square Garden. Tonight, we've got a big prize fight for you. Of course, this is the heavyweight championship of the world and the right for a man to keep making movies, to stay in the film business, or does he just go away, go far, far away, and stay, of course, in the limelight as a celebrity, but quit making us watch his films, quit making us think he's a serious filmmaker. Good evening, everyone. My name is Bill Sturtle. I'm with the George Foreman, the former heavyweight champion of the world. And tonight, we will see one of the greats, Vitaly Klitschko. And Mr. Klitschko, of course, is currently the WBO heavyweight champ of the world. And he is a man to be reckoned with. Tonight, who's he going up against, George?
Tonight, he's going to be going up against, of course, Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt, I think, is good. You know, I like everything that he... I don't like everything he does, you know, but everything he makes, just a smeller, man. It stinks everything out. Last movie I saw him in, The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. I mean, what is that? That, like, the name goes on forever, man. I can't remember that. Another movie he made, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, that blew. Ocean's 12, Suck, Troy, blew. Oh, man, did that blow.
There's a lot of stinkers on that list, is what you're saying.
Well, and that other thing, Sinbad, Legend of the Seven Seas. Sinbad is a comic. They can say that he was another guy, some other place that wore them big pantaloon pants and was worshiping Allah or something like that. I don't know anything about that. So I suspect Brad Pitt is a liar as well as a thief and a lousy actor.
Well, I'm not saying he's a lousy actor. I think that Brad Pitt is a fine actor. But I would say that, of course, here come the fighters now. I'm just saying that he hasn't made a movie worth watching in a long time. Here come the fighters. And they'll be into the center of the ring. We'll go down there and hear the referee's instructions.
Don't grab his gonads.
All right, you heard the fighters. And here we go for the start of the fight. And they get into the ring now. And they're circling around. Tip there. He takes a big right hand there from Klitschko. Brad Pitt takes a right hand. He's staggered up against the ropes. But now he's recovering. Pitt there wandering around the ring. And there's another right hand from Klitschko. And this will be a standing eight count now. Standing eight count. That's the end of the round. Of course, as you know, there are only 3-second rounds. And Brad Pitt took a couple of pretty heavy shots there from Klitschko, didn't he, George?
Yeah, he looked like he's all messed up. I don't know whether he's going to stay in there or not. But I tell you something, for any man, any grown man to come out with a movie called Spy Game, The Mexican, and Snatch, all of them come out in the same 12-month period, and not one of them, man, together makes a good home movie. I'd rather watch my sons eat.
Now let's go out of the second round here.
Brad Pitt and Vitaly Klitschko. Let's talk about Klitschko for a minute. This guy's a big, big, strong Russian fighter. He's from the Ukraine, actually. I just heard a truck go by.
That's scary, man. I don't know how that got in here. Somebody better close that back door.
And there's another. Oh, now there's Brad Pitt just scores a nice uppercut. Klitschko is kind of backpedaling on that.
Yeah, this guy Klitschko, he's a good fighter. Not only that, he's got a doctorate. And I think that makes everybody, every fighter here in America look like a real dumbass, a real dimwit. Some guy come out of Ukraine where all he's eating is like bad potatoes, and they had all that Russian mafia and everything, and he got a doctorate. There's never been a prize fighter in the world been a doctor. Never in the history of the world have been a doctor who's been a prize fighter, unless he was like Dr. Doom or something like that. So that's all messed up.
Pitch just next. Please go to the back. How about that? And please go have to get up. But he's saved by the bell. Well, fight fans, don't forget Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. That's right, Pabst Blue Ribbon. It tastes just like urine, but I can tell you from experience, I've had both. You'll love a cold Pabst as you watch the fights tonight. Brad Pitt, among his many movies, Snatch, which he made for the husband, I believe, of Madonna, right?
Yeah, some guy named Gay Ritchie, something like that, I don't know.
Fight Club, Meet Joe Black, The Dark Side of the Sun. You couldn't find a collection of worse movies. All right, now Brad Pitt in the center of the ring. Will he stay in show business? Will he be allowed to make movies? Or will he just have to go away to People Magazine heaven? And there's a big right hand there by Brad Pitt. Please go and stagger. Hit the left. Hit it right. Hit it left. Hit it right. Hit it right. Hit it left. No, go left. Go right. Yeah, that's it. That's the drugstore. Well, please go and really hit hard in that round. How about that, George?
Man, I tell you something right now. If Brad Pitt want to give up acting, he ought to become what I would call a prize fighter, because he really staggered Klitschko there. And, you know, a little bit of American pride going on. You like to see a white man, you know, an American, I should say, pounding hell out of some flat-faced Ukrainian, some pan-faced guy from the middle of nowhere, some Slav right out of the middle of Siberia. I got a lot of racial theory stuff going on, even though I'm as dark as the inside of a cow.
And here we go now. This is the fifth round. For a scheduled 11-rounder heavyweight championship of the world for Vitaly Klitschko and, of course, Brad Pitt. If he loses this fight, no more movies, Mr. Pitt, no more. Please, please, please! And there's another right hand there for Brad Pitt. And now he gets Klitschko. He's got him in a clinch, in the corner, backing him up, hitting him, hitting below the belt, hitting with rabbit punches, hitting behind the head. Now he's giving the man a coma. He's on the ground and he's bleeding from the ears. And that's the fight. Well, that was fantastic, and I've never seen a fighter come back. I thought Klitschko had the better of it. Let's hear the decision from the referee, Shorty McGee. Shorty?
After 6 rounds, the winner, due to come out with a movie called The Assassination of Jesse James by the coward Robert Ford. What is that?
And making his way down ringside, of course, is George Foreman. He'll be talking to the champion, Brad Pitt. And Klitschko just staggered. I don't think Klitschko will live. As a matter of fact, the Pitt beat him so heavily in the back of the head. There they go. There go the horseshoes out of the gloves now. That was a very nice one. And let's go, George.
Yeah, I got hold on for me. Back up, man. Back up, huh?
Come on, George. Give us a break.
Hey, you back up, all right? I'm with HBO, man. I'm up there, Larry Merchant, everybody. Blow it out your ass. Hey, Brad, George Foreman, HBO, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Say, Brad, tell me about it. How'd you get him there?
You know, they load up my glove belt for the fight, and I tell you everything. I just thank God. I thank Allah. I thank Osama bin Laden, Yusuf Lateef, Rashawn Roland Kirk, every cat with a Muslim name. I don't care who you are, man. Even that cat on Saved by the Bell, I thought I'd dig him, too.
All right, man. Say, Brad, are you going to make more movies now if you win this fight, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to make another movie. I got Jennifer, as soon as I get, I unload her, you know, she want to have a kid, man.
Are you going to unload Jennifer Aniston? I said, you going to unload it?
Hey, back up, man. Come on, we want to talk to Phil.
I swear to God, man, I'll kill a man tonight. Anybody breathe on me again, don't breathe the clam sauce on me. What about it, Brad?
Jennifer, she's good, you know, everything good there. I'm just kidding around, but she want to have a baby, and, I can't do that now, man. I'm making too many movies. You know, they're making me make a movie. I don't even want to make all these movies. They made me make 6 movies last year. I haven't seen one of them. I don't even know. I don't even know what they're about.
Then what? Like what?
I made one called Babel. I made another one called Chad Schmidt. I make a lot of movies with cats' names, you know, Chad Schmidt, Benjamin Button. Next week, I'm going to have a movie called Tim Finley. I don't know, you know. Thank you.
Well, good luck to you, Brad, and whatever you're doing, man. I got to tell you, I ain't going to go see none of your movie, though.
I don't believe you. I think they all suck.
What idiot?
All right, thank you very much, George Foreman. And ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the fights tonight. The crowd is emptied out. There's nothing to see here. You can hear the place is empty. I can hear there's a guy sweeping up down there. How you doing?
Real good.
All right. And that's it from Madison Square Garden. The result of the fight tonight, in five rounds, a knockout by Brad Pitt of Vitaly Klitschko. So Brad Pitt's new movie, Babel, will come out. Damn it! Tonight's fight has been brought to you by Underwood Deviled Ham. Don't forget, if you want ham, if you are a ham, it's a devil of a ham, it's Underwood. And by Hormel Chili. Hormel Chili tastes just as good going in as it smells coming out. More beans, more beef, Hormel Chili. And by Brawny Paper Towels. After a heavy night of drinking, you don't want those leather seats messed up with acid-soaked vomit. Use Brawny. And by Chief Auto Parts. You the kind of guy that works on your car? Really? Isn't that nice? You're the only one. Chief Auto Parts. This has been a Titan Sports presentation.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Like this movie that he's got coming out, Brad Pitt, The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. That's going to be coming out next year, okay? So what is that about? In other words, you're just, I don't even have to read the history. I'm getting it all there in the title of the movie now. It's not even called Jesse. This is The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. So there you go. Just go to the movie. And by the way, Brad's playing, guess who? You got it, Jesse James. I'm sure he looks exactly like him.
Well, you know, Phil, it's about suggesting the character. Unless he, first of all, can I just say something? As an avid fan of history, people in the 19th century, either they didn't have teeth, or they had teeth that were made out of, like, animal, you know, teeth, or their teeth were brown, yellow, or black. They didn't have a big, freaking crest smile like Brad Pitt. Like, when he messed his teeth up for California.
Which I think he messed his teeth up too much for that. It's like, in other words, dude, just kind of be who you are. You don't have to put in the Bubba teeth. Anyway, kind of like that. I realize you can't relate to it. I see this movie the other day. It was that old one with Jeff Bridges. What's the name of it? Wild Bill Hickok. And he had Ellen Barkin playing Calamity Jane. Calamity Jane had thighs as wide as a tree. She had a face that would stop a clock. In other words, nothing. And Wild Bill Hickok, this guy was a big geek. I mean, the cat was badass and everything, but he had a big freaking nose on him.
Jewish?
Probably Jewish. What do you mean, Jewish? With a name like Hickok? Anyway, to get. He said the Jewish line.
Oh, I don't care about that. What do I care? I'm not talking about that. You said the word. What's this Hickok? What's that about?
That's the guy's name.
Well, you know, if that's the guy's name, why do you got to push the envelope with the FCC with a... And his name was Wild Bill Hickok. Why do you accentuate it?
I don't believe that I did. I think that you're once again exaggerating.
Once again, are you calling me a liar?
That's what he's doing, Mr. Harl.
Calling me a liar, huh?
No, I'm not calling you a liar. I am saying you're exaggerating, okay?
Yeah, you're all his cop.
Okay, get out of here. Is that what he thought I said? His?
Yeah.
I said Hickok, not his. What a... I'm working for metal midgets is what I'm working for. And I are one, too. So there you go. What was I saying? I forget. Anyways, about Brad Pitt. You're a great guy, Brad. Like all your movies. Doug you in that flick True Romance. That was out of sight. That was a great character. Everybody talks about True Romance, you know? What is it about that movie? Gary Oldman plays that white boy with the dreadlocks. That's great. Then you got your Dennis Hopper line about the eggplant and the whole thing he did with Walken. That's classic. Then you got Brad Pitt's character, the surf dude. Now, was Tom Sizemore in that? I think he's like a hitman or something, or a cop. So he's in it. All the great movie actors are in it. And who is the star of the thing? forget. I can't even remember who the main character was because all the guys doing the character stuff were great, huh?
Christian Slater.
Christian Slater. Yeah, yeah. He's terrific. And everybody talks about that movie because I think it's the last flick we ever saw Brad Pitt in that we liked. Seriously, do you ever seen a movie you like of it? No. Fight Club, that's it. All right. Enough about that, man. So the prize fight's over. He's back in the, he's back in showbiz. Good for him, man. Good for him. Have a nice time, man. Have a real good time.
Jealous?
Yeah. All right, coming up, we have Chris Norton. We also have Larry Grover and his magazine, Fresh Crop. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Well, you're out of your mind, bud, because Crimson Tide is the finest submarine movie ever made.
No, Hunt for Red October is really cool.
Hunt for Red October is jive, man. J-I-V-E, jive. Don't you ever come in here with that. Don't bring that mess in here.
What, are you black all of a sudden?
Oh, why don't you shut up, man? Can't I say anything without you turn it into a race gag? Speaking of gag, how about taking a bath? Now, getting back to what I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted, Crimson Tide rocks. And the reason why it rocks is because it's authentic. It has a great many fine little nuances about the submarine business. Members of my family were in the subservice in the United States Navy, so I ought to know, Dickman. On top of that, those submarines, oh my God, who can be in one of those? In those old sub movies, there used to be a show on when I was a kid, I don't know what the hell it was, something like Victory at Sea, and then they'd show a bow cutting through the water. And they'd show these guys just, boop, boop, boop. You know, what is that sonar thing, you know? I mean, you have got to have nerves of steel to be sitting underwater, A, B, in a metal tube, C, over top of you is a guy with big, round, thick Coke bottle glasses and that little tiny cap with the star on it going, that time to 200 feet, man, I don't know. Eyeball it. Yeah, okay, Captain. Eyeball it. And then they're dropping those depth charges. Yeah, well, what? You know, and it's all right, guy. And so the thing's rocking and rolling. And how about those Russians? How many Russians are they digging out of a submarine once a year now? What is it, like another 20 guys? Those poor guys, they must have freaking nerves of steel. Hi, guys. Yeah, we're in a submarine. And guess what? We're stalled at the bottom of the ocean. Anybody want coffee? What? So they got those guys out of there. But just to sit there and nobody talk? No one talk. Because it'll reverberate up through the water and some little numbnut sitting there with earphones on, checking out the latest from freaking Linkin Park, is going to go, hey, wait a minute, I hear something. What was that movie where the Russians were singing down there and they heard it? I don't know. I think I'm making stuff up now. I think I'm getting feverish. World famous Phil Hendry Show coming up, Larry Grover.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.